I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, I just got back from San Diego. So today is all about San Diego Comic-Con 2026. So for those regular listeners, you know I've been doing San Diego Comic-Con for a long time. I think since 2009 I've been doing a magic panel. But actually my earliest... I actually went to Comic-Con back in the late 80s, early 90s when I lived in Los Angeles. And in fact, the very first place I ever saw magic cards was at San Diego in 93. So anyway, I've been going off and on. So I used to go to San Diego when I lived in L.A. When I came up here to work at Wizards, I didn't go for a while. And then my friend Michael, the one who I... Michael Ryan and I, who did the Weatherlight Saga together, he invited me down. We had a great time. I remembered how much I loved Comic-Con, and so I've been going ever since. So, anyway, let's talk about this trip. Okay, so the way that Comic-Con works is there's a preview night on Wednesday, and then the Comic-Con itself is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I traditionally go down for the preview night, and I normally come back on Sunday. Sunday's a little quieter, and it lets me get back so that I can go to work on Monday. So anyway, I arrive on Wednesday to go to Comic-Con. So preview night, normally preview night is a quiet night for me. I walk around. Basically what preview night means is there's a giant, I'm not sure what to call it, but a hall of different places, and it is huge. It literally is every single, like, they have different rooms. It's the length of the entire convention center. So it's a giant hall. It's got, like, I don't know, 42 or 45 rows. And it, as you go along, like, there's different sections. There's some sections that have old comic books and some sections that are dedicated to video games. And there's some sections where the bigger places are showing up. Hasbro always has a booth. There were times in the past that Wizards had a booth, but ever since we've become part of Hasbro, mostly we're a subsection of the Hasbro booth. So if you went to the Hasbro booth, which is pretty big, there's one section. We were right next to D&D, so D&D us were right on one section. At this convention, we were showing off Marvel superheroes and the upcoming Star Trek. So the Universes Beyond stuff's a little more attractive at the show, just because, obviously... for those who don't know, San Diego Comic-Con is all about pop culture, and so showing off some of the big brands that we are working with is very exciting to people. Now, normally what I do on preview night is I walk around and see all the, you know, see all the stuff that's there. But I was actually quite busy this time. We had lined up all these interviews, and so I did, I think, 6 different interviews across the hall. So Gavin Verhey was also at the event, but Gavin wasn't there. He got there later that night. And I think the original plan was I would do 3 and Gavin would do 3. But because Gavin ended up not... I ended up doing all 6. I'm fine doing interviews. But anyway, so I did a lot of interviews. We went around. All of them were on... Some were on the floor for that night. I talked a lot about The Hobbit. And I talked about Reality Fracture. And... But mostly about the Marvel superheroes, just about current and upcoming things. Okay, then Thursday morning, I did a thing called the Hasbro Press Breakfast. So it starts at like 8 a.m. in the morning. It's very early. And we're in a hotel. We're at the top floor of the hotel. And then every Hasbro brand, or not every, but many Hasbro brands come, and they come with their products, and they... The idea is a chance for press, and press also means like influencers and social media people, to come and see all the things that Hasbro is putting out. So in our little setup, again, we did Marvel superheroes and we did Star Trek. We had all the, so when I say Star Trek, we have all the packaging for everything. The packaging actually is empty. There's nothing in it, but we have all the packaging. So we've mocked up what everything will look like. And there's a wide suite of stuff. So you can see a lot of like, you know, here are the play boosters and the collector boosters, and here are the commander decks, and here are the, what else do we have? The scene boxes and beginner boxes. And anyway, we have a lot of variety of different things. So we're showing that off. And the idea of the breakfast is that people come around, they take a lot of pictures, and then they can ask you questions. Also, there's a breakfast there, so you can go get breakfast. I ended up doing one interview. I've done the breakfast a couple times before, but I hadn't done any interviews at the breakfast. For the first time, I did an interview at the breakfast, which was nice. Little quieter there than it was in the hall. Hall is really loud, but I guess you're mic'd on the hall so they can hear you. So the breakfast is a couple hours, and like I said, I talked to a bunch of people. Normally, the interesting thing about the breakfast is the toys and stuff get a little more attention than us, just because it's little by little. The interesting thing about Magic is, I've talked about this, Hasbro did a thing where they looked at the top 20 brands of Hasbro, and they looked at all these different vectors about the brands. And Magic was number one on revenue, but number 20 on awareness, which means that while Magic is obviously the biggest brand from a revenue standpoint for Hasbro, a lot of people still don't know Magic. Obviously, you guys know Magic. You're listening to a podcast of the head designer of Magic. So, but it's interesting that, you know, and I always tell the story about how, like, when I first got hired at Wizards, I went to my high school reunion, my 10-year reunion. And I was all excited that I just got hired to work on Magic. And everybody I met, I told that, and they just got blank stares. Like, oh, okay, that sounds great. One of my friends, her husband, played Magic, so she knew what it was. But it's sort of like I'm telling all these people. And obviously, Magic's awareness has gone up some. And the most interesting thing, actually, is Universes Beyond is doing a lot to raise awareness for us, just because these big brands, other people are sort of hearing about it. In fact, while I was at Comic-Con, on the Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon did a bit in the monologue about the fact that Magic's been doing so well. And not just one joke, like there was an audience, I mean, it was a little bit of a cheesy thing. But anyway, nonetheless, it's important. Awareness is super important. Having, you know, the Tonight Show joke about us in their monologue is a sense of awareness that's really important. So anyway, I'm going off... So, I did the breakfast, and then, what else did I do Thursday? Gavin, I didn't end up going to this. Gavin went to, there was a Star Trek panel that Gavin sat in on, in which, I think in that panel we had already announced that we were doing, autograph cards, but for the first time in that panel, we announced that Patrick Stewart was one of the people. In fact, we showed a video of Patrick Stewart signing cards, which was really exciting. And so anyway, Gavin went and showed off some stuff at the Star Trek panel, that was quite exciting. And what else went on Thursday? I did get a chance, I mean, one of the fun things is I love Comic-Con. I mean, well, as I love talking about Magic at Comic-Con, I really do also enjoy getting to experience Comic-Con, and, you know, there's a lot of fun things to do. But anyway, also, the other thing I did Thursday. So we had set up a giant tent. So there's a parking lot right across from Petco Park. Petco Park is the stadium that's right near the convention center. So right across from Petco Park in the sort of parking lot, there was a, I don't know what to call it, but an area for stuff. We had a giant tent there. And so, if you came, there were two sections in the giant tent. One was a learn to play, and another was if you've ever come to MagicCon, we do this miniature golf. What is it called? Putt-putt tap or something. So if you come to the MagicCon, I think we have 9 holes. Here we had 4 holes. But anyway, you can come and do miniature golf. Each hole is themed to a different plane. The ones we had here, we had Bloomburrow, and we had Duskmorn, and we had Lorwyn Shadowmoor, what was the last one? We had 4 holes. And we had Amonkhet. The final one's Amonkhet. Anyway, so you could stand in line and come to play with the putt-putt, or you could stand in line and do a learn to play. I think if you did either, we had a Loki promo from Marvel Superheroes you got, and we had, you got a welcome deck, one of the 5 welcome decks. If you stood in line to learn to play, I think you also got a comic book. There was a Marvel comic book that, where inside you can see people, I think it's X-Men playing Magic. Anyway, the idea that canonically, I guess the X-Men some of them play magic. Anyway, so that was at the tent. There also was events run at the tent. And one of the events for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 2:30 each day, you could learn to play mood swings. So I was there teaching people to play mood swings. So you got a deck, and I think on you got a play mat. We had also a mood swings play mat. So the idea was that I did it is I taught people four different ways to play for mood swings. There's a normal two-player play, which I teach them. Then I would teach them four-player play, so they can play with four people, like free-for-all. Then I would teach them team, where it's two people against the other two. And then I would teach them draft, which is a two-person draft. Just to give them a lot of idea of how you could play. So I did that every day that I was there. Also, I did not go to this, but in the Marriott, there was a place that you could line up for that showed off some of the new Star Trek cards. Also, Lego had done a thing where you could sit in, like, a Lego captain's booth. And if you went there and got your picture, one of the things you got is we were giving away a Kirk promo card for Star Trek. The first, I think, printed Star Trek promo card you could get. It was a mono red Kirk card. So anyway, there were a bunch of magic cards to get at the convention. Oh, the other thing we did is on the main strip, like right in front of the convention, there's a booth set up that you go and get popsicles. And so the outside of the popsicle looked like the Marvel Superheroes booster pack. And then when it opened up, you got one of five flavors in the magic colors. And then you got a starter deck. Then your popsicle may or may not have had something on it. If it didn't, you got a starter deck matching the color of your popsicle. And if it did have something, then you got the promo card, I believe is how it worked there. So we also did that. And we also, one of the trains, I'm not sure the right word, we skinned it. One of the trains had our advertising on it. So if you watch trains going by, every once in a while, one of the subway trains had our stuff on it. And if you went into the gas lamp, which is the area right by the convention center where a lot of people eat and stuff, there was the signage everywhere, you know, advertisements for Marvel Superheroes. So, we went pretty big. There's a lot of, doing a lot of stuff. So you could see it all around the hall. There were places to get things. I think also, by the way, there was also in the Marriott, there was also a second place you could play. There also were events being run in the Marriott. So, there's a lot of magic throughout. The other thing that's really interesting to point out is one of my signs of the awareness, like as magic's awareness grows, one of the things I find interesting is how often do I get recognized at Comic-Con? Now, if I go to a magic con, I get, stopped everywhere. They're all magic players. And obviously, if I go to, I go to the tent where we're teaching people how to play magic, there's magic players there. They recognize me, obviously. But just on the floor, it's interesting. And normally, if I go back like 10 years ago, I got stopped once or twice. Like, occasionally people will recognize me. There are magic players there. But those numbers keep going up. I got stopped a lot this time. And so I can sense that magic's awareness is just going up. Just the number of people where you can even get magic cards is going up. Like, there's someone there who sells magic cards that I'm friends with who, ever since I've been coming there, he's been there selling cards. We take a picture together every year. So anyway, that is Thursday, which brings us to Friday. Friday was probably the time I had the Friday morning. I actually went and watched some panels just to do some Comic-Con stuff, which was fun for me. Then I did more of Mood Swings teaching. And then after that, I did a podcast. I did a video podcast, which was super fun. And then I went home and collapsed. So the other thing to remember, a little side note here, is the week before San Diego Comic-Con, I was in Amsterdam for MagicCon Amsterdam, which I also did a podcast on. So I was home for under 48 hours before I left again to go to San Diego. So I don't think I was quite over the time change yet. My body still has some jet lag, so I definitely had some long days, and I definitely was tired. But anyway, that gets us to Saturday. So Saturday, like I said, I have a bunch of friends there. I went to some panels to watch some friends talk. I had lunch with a friend. Then I went and did more mood swings. And then Saturday at 6:30 p.m. in room ABC. So that has been our room to do that. That time slot and that room has been Magic's for over 10 years now. Like, I always put in my request for the room, and they just sort of, like, I've been doing it long enough that's kind of locked in. Like, whenever they say, when are you going to do it? I go, well, I haven't officially heard yet, but I will tell you, it'll be 6:30, 7:30, room ABC. It's kind of our slot in room and day, which is good. It means that because I go home on Sunday, it's the last thing I do at Comic-Con is run the panel. And that is always fun. So this year was interesting. I'm tucked in between two things. We did a giant preview panel in Amsterdam the week before, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on at Gen Con because all the top stuff's happening at Gen Con. So I was kind of in the middle. I didn't have a lot of new stuff to show because we just done all the stuff. So what I actually did instead is I went through all the stuff we had shown in Amsterdam, and I went in a little more detail. I explained some stuff, a little more behind-the-scenes things. And then I did a little mini-talk talking about where the Planeswalkers came from, how the Planeswalkers first got made. There's a lot of stories, how we decided to make the Planeswalkers. Sort of, I talked a little bit about the evolution of Planeswalkers in Magic, and then I talked sort of about how we ended up making cards out of them, how the card type came about. And then let me quickly tell the shortened version of the story. Since you guys are listening, I can tell you the story. So, basically, Planeswalkers first showed up, in Alpha, you hear of Urza. I think the rule book, the Alpha rule book, didn't mention the word Planeswalker. I think Planeswalker, that's the first time you saw the word Planeswalker. There's a story that Richard Garfield wrote of two Planeswalkers fighting each other. And I'm pretty sure the word Planeswalker is in that Alpha book, I believe. So Alpha mentions Urza, although it doesn't anyone in the card say he's a Planeswalker. Then Urza obviously shows up in Antiquities. The Brothers' War is the first kind of story, although Antiquities doesn't tell it exactly as hints at it and tells elements of it, like you're digging it up, like you're much like Urza's digging things up, you're digging things up, and as you find artifacts, you're learning about the story of the past. I talked about Arena, which is the first book, came out in 1994. I believe that's the first time in the story outside of Richard's little thing. They talk about Planeswalkers, the main character, I believe, is the Planeswalker. So it takes a little while. We eventually, in Urza Saga, there's a card called Blind Seer, which represents Urza in disguise, but it's a creature card. The reason we hadn't done Planeswalkers early on was early in Magic, they were just so powerful. They're almost like gods, and it was just hard to have a card represent godlike power. During Time Spiral, we created an event we called The Mending. And the idea of The Mending was the multiverse was falling apart, and it was up to Planeswalkers to heal it, but they had to use their sparks to heal it. Basically, the end result is we kind of reset the power level and made what we think of today as the modern level Planeswalkers. It was during that. So Future Sight was the third set in the... it was Time Spiral, Planar Chaos, Future Sight. So Matt Cavada, who at the time was in charge of names and flavor text. I had hired him to be on the creative team back when I ran the creative team. He now works for... He does art direction for Universes Beyond. Does major work there. Anyway, he came to me and said, look, we're doing all this stuff with The Mending to sort of be able to use Planeswalkers and, to reset the power of the Planeswalkers. Could we make cards out of them? We should make cards out of them. And I thought, that's an awesome idea. So we were doing this thing in Future Sight, which we called the Future Shifted Cards, where they were cards from the future. So I'm like, maybe this is the perfect opportunity. What if we show you a brand new card type you've never seen before? And then we'd follow up later by actually having the card type in sets. But the premiere would be in Future Sight. So we tried really hard. We were going to have a black, a blue, and a green Planeswalker. We're going to have three Planeswalkers. And in fact, I showed off one of them. I have the playtest card for one of them, where I'm literally drawing it. It's sideways. It was what would end up being Garrick, but at the time it's called Fendari was what I called it. And he made little 1/1s rather than 4/4 beasts that would come later. But anyway, the idea we had when we were working on it was this idea that chapters isn't really what we called it at the time, but on your first turn, you do number one. On the second turn, you do number two. On the third turn, you do number three. And then on the fourth turn, you go back to number one. So the idea is it cycles through these abilities. The problem we found was, like, one of the ones we ended up making close to Garrick was like, oh, make a creature, double the number, make a beast, double the number of beasts you have. And, you know, for every beast you have, make another beast. And then all beasts get +3/+3 and trample. Well, if you make a beast and your opponent destroys it, turn two, double your beast. We don't have any, so nothing happens. Turn three, all your beasts get +3/+3 and trample. We don't have any, so nothing happens. So it made it feel kind of dumb at times, like it just wasn't really smart. So we ended up not putting it into Future Sight. And in fact, what we did, that funny story is, I had made a card called Tarmogoyf, because I thought it was very funny that we could make reference of card types that didn't exist, that maybe in the future they would exist. But when we ended up doing Planeswalkers, like, well, even funnier than mentioning a card type doesn't exist, how about we show you a card type that doesn't exist? But when we ended up taking them out, the green slot went back to Tarmogoyf. But the interesting thing is, when I first made Tarmogoyf, I made it 2 and a green for a star-star. I didn't like star-star +1. When Mike was putting it back in the file, he did it from memory. And so he made it 1 and a green rather than 2 and a green, and he made it star-star +1, because Lurgoyf is star-star +1, of which this was riffing off of. So it ended up, Tarmogoyf became much, much better, probably because Mike just sort of forgot exactly, like, he had done it from memory. So anyway, the Planeswalkers not being there in time made a juiced-up Tarmogoyf. So anyway, Lorwyn comes around. We're still not sure about whether or not we're going to get them done in time, so we don't put them in the story. We don't involve them in the story at all. So when we're talking about Reality Fracture, how the Lorwyn vibes show up in the story for the first time, they do. They've never been together in the story, because Lorwyn, when they showed up, they weren't in the story at all. They're not even mentioned in the story. Okay, so in Lorwyn, so Brady Downermuth was in charge of the creative, like, he was the creative director at the time. He mostly came up with the main five characters. He had input for the rest of the team, but so what we did is White was a Johnny. The idea that I know Brady loves, the idea that his magic was sort of selfless and that he couldn't use his magic on himself. He could only use it on others. And that's kind of a Johnny. A Johnny's all about inherently helping others. We wanted each one to be the embodiment of their color. So being my white magic is only about helping the group and not about helping me, the individual, felt really cool. And Brady really wanted one of the five not to sort of be human. And I think the team really liked Leonin, so we ended up choosing to make a Johnny sort of the, you know, I mean, he's humanoid, but the non-human. Jace, the idea of Jace that we were playing around with that is Jace is a telepath, right? He can read other people's minds. So there's an archetype in the idea of the amnesiac. I'm somebody who, I'm special, but I don't know why I'm special because I don't have memories. It's like the born identity, stuff like that. And so the idea is, here's somebody who knows everybody else's secrets because he can read their mind, but he doesn't know his own. And that felt like a really cool thing. And then we gave him illusion powers because one of the things that's really cool is we wanted him to be someone who his smarts was, like, he was really smart. And illusions are a really interesting power set, right? Illusions don't actually do anything. They can't actually, like, in order to use illusions in ways, like, you have to be smart with them because they don't actually do anything. They're not actually there. They have no, you know, people see them, but they have no substance. And anyway, we thought that was really good. So the idea of his mental powers with illusion felt like a good package. Liliana Vess, which does anagram to a villainess, although Brady swears that wasn't on purpose. The idea we liked about her was she's a necromancer who's afraid of death. That she became, as we learned later on, that it was her brother dying that sort of led her to necromancy because she was trying to save him. And then when she couldn't save him, was trying to bring him back. But this idea that that even though she harnesses death and she's familiar with death as a tool, she herself is very afraid of dying. She made deals with demons and all this stuff to sort of, you know, to keep herself alive. And she obviously, she's very old. We thought that was pretty cool. Chandra was always sort of meant to be the heart of the team, being very red. The idea that was really fun was that she was someone, along with Johnny, I guess, who was the most constructive of the people. That really her goal was she wanted to help people and she wanted to make things better. but her power set is destructive. She burns things down. And this idea of someone who's trying to do better by the world and improve things, but with a power set that is difficult to do that with, we thought was cool. Also, we're playing into a trope of the idea of red is the color of emotion. We like the idea that there's one of the characters that sort of, like, her heart was in a really good place, but man, she's spontaneous to a fault at times. And having fire, you know, there's the archetype we're playing into. It's like, oh, the fiery character who literally creates fire, we thought was pretty fun. And then Garrick, the idea of Garrick that we liked the idea of this giant person who is really intimidating, but he just sort of, he's a loner, right? Like, he comes from a place where he feels at home in nature, and he feels at home with animals, but he doesn't really feel at home with other people. And the idea of having someone who had to interact with other people and that really was not a people person, we thought was pretty cool. And he was a giant, and he wore the mask. Anyway, there's a lot of part of him we thought was a pretty cool look. That was something a little different. Anyway, I gave that talk, and then I talked about that, and then I answered questions. Usually when I do, I call it Blogatog Live, because most of what I'm doing is answering questions. And as I point out, on my blog, I do answer questions every day, but I get to pick, I pick the questions I answer. So if I don't want to answer something, I don't answer it. I answer the questions I want to answer. But one thing about Blogatog Live is, well, they let them ask me questions. I answer the questions after me. So I maybe ask some questions that I don't normally answer online. So I got a lot of people asking questions, and it's always fun. I love doing Q&As, and so it's super fun. And after that, that was my final act of Comic-Con. The one thing I did not mention on Thursday night. Thursday night, we had partners that I went to dinner with. Schmoozing the partners and talking and getting to meet the partners. I don't interact with the partners as much as other people. There's other people in the company that do that all the time. But it was really fun. It was just fun to sort of get a chance to do that. Like I said, the interesting thing is there have definitely been Comic-Cons where my amount of stuff, like, I always do the panel, and I always do some interviews, but, a lot of times I just have less going on. But I had a lot, I was pretty busy, doing magic stuff this time. So between all my interviews, the press breakfast, doing the podcast, and doing all the demos for Mood Swings. I had fun. I had a blast. The interesting thing for me is that Comic-Con is a very familiar show. Like I said, this is, I don't know exactly, something like my 20th Comic-Con. I went to the first ones late 80s, early 90s. I went there after I first started Wizards. I went there a little bit. And then there was a gap where I didn't go before Michael invited me. And it is so much fun. It is, first off, as you guys know, I'm a comics fan. So it's fun to go and see comic stuff, which I really enjoy. I also enjoy pop culture. So it's fun to go see different shows and, the fact that I get to see some panels and stuff. The other thing is fun. It's just, the number of fans I ran into on the floor was higher than it's ever been. I really do think that magic is starting to hit this tipping point. Maybe I'll talk about this on another podcast because this isn't really a thing of Comic-Con, but it was interesting watching magic's growth over the last couple of years. We're starting to get an awareness in places we had not gotten awareness before, meaning more people are learning about magic that had never, ever heard of magic before, and that is really exciting. But anyway, I guess that is a topic for another time. I hope you guys enjoyed my recapping of San Diego Comic-Con 2026. If you enjoyed this, I do a podcast every year on San Diego, and I've done one for many years. So if you want to hear more, I've done that. But anyway, guys, I'm now here at work. And so I got to go. I haven't been to work for 2 weeks, mostly. So I need to go and do some stuff. I got some projects to make. So instead of talking magic, I got to be making... Oh, sorry, I didn't do that in the order. We're all here. We know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. Thank you guys for listening today. San Diego Comic-Con is always fun to go to and fun to talk about. But since it is I'm at the end, it is time for me to bid you adieu. So everyone, I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.